sing hallelujah. King of glory, and only where.
Somebody shake yourself and go.
Sing hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh, and only where. Come and join me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He has done it again and again. Again and again and again again. Alpha Omega, Alpha Omega, Daddy, you are worthy of my praise. Worthy, worthy, oh, Alpha and Omega, 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 you are worthy now.
You are worthy of my praise.
You are worthy, 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 worthy. You are worthy to the praise, worthy every day, worthy every day, worthy of my praise.
Can I hear your hands, your hands, your hands, your hands?
Angels are singing, you are worthy, you are Lamb of God. Somebody join me and say, you are worthy,
you are worthy,
you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, Lord.
You are worthy,
worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy,
worthy, worthy, worthy,
worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy,
worthy, worthy,
worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy,
worthy,
worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy, you are worthy to receive praises, honor, adoration. You are worthy, Lord. We are saying it.
You are worthy.
You are worthy, 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 worthy,
worthy.
Let me live in so. Do something for this God. Baby, baby, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Who lifts up, I will lift up your name. For the Lord is seated on the throne. He will do a new thing. I will lift up your name. When you lift him high, leave the name of
prophesy is worthy of my praise. Abunu Rebo, Jehovah Obadu, Jehovah Maroba Mo, Elelewe Jor, Kume Dine Wulo Jura Joken Kume, lift up your name. I will lift up your name.
Umu Jina Gye,
Na Kuru Jesus Aka. I will lift up your name. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh.
Somebody put their hands together for the Lord. Oh, my. Somebody say, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Give your neighbor a handshake with a smile as you sit down. With a smile on your face. We are in his sanctuary. We are not in the mortuary. And in the presence of God, there is joy. There is fullness of joy. Amen. Whatever pains you came here with, whatever sorrows, whatever agonies that burdened you to the gates of this auditorium today, I guarantee you, you will meet them when you get back up out of this auditorium. Somebody shout hallelujah. Provided you don't sleep. You know, this is night. And some of us are weak from labor and office work and other things. The Lord will give you grace to keep awake. Amen. So that the angel will not find you asleep when he is dispatching the envelopes, the packages. Because somebody is going home this morning with his blessings. Somebody is going home this morning with her blessings. If you are that person, shout hallelujah. Amen. You're welcome to his presence one more time. A regular Friday covenant vigil. And today is going to be greater than the former days. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. Amen. Did the Bible not say that the glory of the letter shall be what? Than the glory of the former. So every day in your life and walk with God must be better and greater in the name of Jesus. Amen. Remember, we have our brethren who are connecting with us online from other states of the country and other parts of the world. Europe, Asia, Africa. And they will also want us to always recognize and appreciate that they are always hooked up during our services. And one of the ways we do it is by doing what? Waving our hands to them and telling them what? Shalom. Can you say that again? Those in Asia, in Africa, in Europe, the Americas, and all over the world. Shalom, brethren. Amen. And tonight we are trusting the Lord, whom we have come to seek His face in prayer, will not leave us the way we came. He's a faithful and covenant-keeping God. He will do it. Before we go to pray tonight, we are going to look at the scriptures again to take words of encouragement and admonition that will form basis for our prayers. Amen. Our foundation remains the Bible. The Bible says we are built upon the foundation of who? The apostles and the prophets. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. So there's nothing we can do without the Bible, the written word of God. Amen. And last Sunday, I started a message and I titled Discerning What? The Signs of the Time. How many of us were here on Sunday, last Sunday? Amen. If you are not here, get the DVD from the tape stand. We're going to take part two today. Discerning the signs of the time. Amen. There is a particular time we are living in. In God's economy, in God's timetable, in God's program. There is a particular time we are living in. And the scriptures, through prophecy, already foretold of the signs of this time, of the things that those who would live in this time, era of time, would witness, would experience, would expect. And these signs will serve as pointer to where the Christian man, the Christian woman is going. Supposed to give you a guide. Amen. Praise the Lord. The prophet preached a sermon. Prophet William Branham. The voice of the sign. Every sign has a voice behind it. It has a message. Amen. And he preached another, recognizing your day and its message. Loaded messages. Old time members, I know you must have read these messages. Praise the Lord. So we'll be taking inspiration from some of these messages and from our constitution, the Bible, and then draw some inferences that will give us the right focus to live rightly in this time of God's dispensation. So we have to look at the scriptures again to take a background while we trust the Holy Spirit to give us inspiration and understanding. If you don't mind, as our custom is, shall we just rise briefly as we take one or two scripture passages. We're going to read, he says, scripture we read last Sunday, found in Matthew chapter 16. We shall also read Romans chapter 13. Matthew 16. We're reading from verse 1. If you are there, say amen. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, you will say, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. We're looking at from verse 11. Romans 13:11. It says, and that knowing the time, somebody say knowing the time, that now it is a high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. And if you don't mind, let's take one more scripture found in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 5. Are you there? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. You can have your seats. Praise the Lord. A wise man's heart does what? What does he discern? Both time and what? Judgment. Now, like we were looking at the scriptures on Sunday, last Sunday, I reminded us that there are seven distinctive junctions of time within the Gentile dispensation. And Gentile dispensation is expected to run for about 2,000 years, following the guide of Hosea chapter what? 6 verse 2. The 2 days. And we've been following, and you discover that from Bible prophecies and what we are seeing, those of us who are students of the Bible and history, you agree with me also that we are in the last of the last days. Praise the Lord. In true study of the scriptures and history, and through the teachings of God's messenger for this last church age, Prophet William Medon Branham, we have been lined up to know what point we are in God's timetable. Praise God. We have seen that the Ephesian church age has come and gone. The church divided into seven church ages. We saw the Spirit when John was in the Isle of Patmos. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, 2, and 3, chapters 2 and 3 particularly, speaks about the seven churches in Asia. Is that right? The church at Ephesus, the church at Smyrna, the church at Pergamos, the church at where? Thyatira, the church at Sardis, the church at Philadelphia, and the church at where? Laodicea. We discover that the Holy Ghost has led the prophet, and he has been able to outline these churches prophetically, which era of time they fell into. Amen. And that each of these local assemblies exhibited peculiar characteristics at that point in time that the church age in question would exhibit in the future. Praise God. Like the Laodicea church age, the characteristic of the Laodicea church age is affluence, wealth, commerce, finance. You know? And when you go back in history, in that first church AD, about 94, 95, 96 AD, when the message was given to these churches, you discover that at that local assembly, there was also affluence and riches compared to other local assemblies in other churches in that Asia Minor. So God was using those local assemblies as a type or prototype to what the ages to come will look like at different stages within the 2,000 years history. Praise the Lord. And so it's important that you understand that whatever is happening today is influenced by the spirit of Laodicea. And you can only identify that in the book of God, the Bible. Praise the Lord. And it will help the Christian to know where he is standing. Because if you look at those other ages, specific church ages, there were rebukes that were meted out to each of those local assemblies and by extension the church ages. Praise the Lord. So, and wherever each of these local assemblies and by extension the church ages received rebuke, it was meant for those that lived in that era of time to take caution. So I don't want to bog us with all that history. We're not studying the church age today. We have done that over and over and over in this assembly. Praise the Lord. But suffice it to say that the church ages, or the Gentile dispensation, is divided into seven distinctive church ages, and we are in the seventh and the last. And the last church age is the Laodicea church age, which ignited in the year 1906, when after the church had gone comatose, gone buried and dead, and through the ministry of Martin Luther, of the fifth church age, Reformation age, light began to come back. Amen. Through Wesley, the sixth messenger, and then before the dawn of the seventh messenger, the church age, there was the restoration of the gifts of the Holy Ghost in the church, which had died thousands of years ago. Because the Bible says that before Jesus comes a second time to pick the church in the rapture, that he, God, will do a work of restoration. Praise the Lord. We're trying to say some of these things because of those who may be coming for the first time in this ministry, or those who might be watching us for the first time. This is not just any other church or any other Pentecostal church. This ministry is a ministry that is restored to the Bible truth. It's a ministry that is restored to the Bible teachings and standards. Is a ministry that restored to the Bible doctrines. Is a ministry that the Bible says You cannot light up a candle and put it under the table. But you put it on the lampstand or on the table so that those that come in can use the light to see. So it's a ministry that God has positioned to show the light. Somebody shout hallelujah. And if it is a ministry so positioned, then at every given time, we do our best to make sure that we project that light for which we are restored to project. Somebody shout hallelujah. And it's not just in doctrines and teachings, but also in conduct. Somebody say conduct. Amen. So, when you are talking of designing the signs of the time, you discover, I didn't say the signs of the times. Because from the first church age, there have been so many junctions of time, or what we call times, dispensations of time. But we're looking at this particular present time. Amen. And even at this particular present time, there are so many signs to look at. There are the world political crises all over the place. There is economic crisis all over the place. Social and family values have gone to the lowest ebb. Praise the Lord. Divorce cases, nobody, people don't take marriages seriously anymore. Even in the church. Praise God. It's a terrible spirit. And last Sunday I was passing a comment at a pastor, a very popular pastor in Nigeria, about divorcing the wife. I meant to understand that it is the other way. It's the wife that is attempting to divorce the husband. Praise God. For whatever reasons. She may have her reasons, but the last thing a Christian man or a Christian woman should contemplate is what? Divorce. Because the Bible said that God hates putting away. Amen. That's not a license for a married man to live anyhow, nor a married woman to live carelessly. But we're looking at the image of the faith. We're looking at the image of Christianity. Jesus had been battered and bruised. And he has come out from the grave glorified. We Christians should not batter him anymore. Somebody shout hallelujah. We should not crucify him afresh anymore. By the way we live and by the way we act. So there are so many areas, the signs. Amen. You look at political crisis all over. If you are not hearing about wars in this nation today, it's the other place. Amen. Ukraine and Russia and the rest of them. The Middle East has been a perennial and lingering issue. Some people, you know, when you talk about Middle East, they say it's normal. It's not normal. It should teach you something. You should study what is happening in the Middle East, especially Palestine, very particularly. Amen. Because it's a sign for something fixing to happen. Praise the Lord. In Yemen, all over the place. Look at the rise of, Muslim fundamentalism. All over the place. They want to take over the whole world with crisis and so forth. Going by different names. They have almost the same ideology. Praise the Lord. It could be Al-Qaeda somewhere. It could be Boko Haram somewhere. It could be another name somewhere else. It's the same ideology. So these crises are pointing to something not very palatable for the world. And it is supposed to make the Christian man, a Christian woman, to sit up and find out closely the hour we are living in. Hallelujah. So, despite all this plethora of crises all over the world, our study and preaching tonight is narrowed down to three major perspectives. Somebody say three major perspectives. We're looking at designing the signs of the time in three major perspectives. One is materialism in the church is a sign. And secondly, crisis in the Middle East, especially Palestine. And number three, the ministry of end time Elijah. These are three signs that we want to look at. Three signs we want to look at, because it deals with the Christian that is preparing to go home in the rapture. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. And let us go back to what we saw in Revelation chapter 3 on Sunday. Let's go back. Materialism in the church. Are you in Revelation chapter 3 now? Let's look at verse 14 again. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, this thing said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. By the way, what did we say Laodicea stands for? What's the meaning of Laodicea? People's rights, equality, everybody has a right. Whether good or bad, everybody has a right. That is why, whether if you want to have an affair with an animal, you want to take an animal for a wife, you have a right. You take an animal for a husband, you have a right. You want to marry a fellow man to man, you have a right. Woman to woman, lesbianism, you have a right. That is the foolish thing that the enemy has injected into humanity in this age. Praise God. People's rights. You can see the spirit is devilish. People's rights. And a woman has equal right with a man in the home. That is the devilish doctrine. It's a spirit. It's the satanic spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, the rebuke continues, starts in verse 15. It says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in a fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eyes that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. Praise the Lord. Now, you see the spirit that the enemy has released unto this age and generation. This is a local assembly being addressed about 2,000 years ago. And prophetically, this local assembly was characterizing what the Christian world will look like in this day and time. Praise God. And it is a lukewarm age. Lukewarm is something that's supposed to be hot, but it refuses to be hot, and yet it's not cold. It's a terrible state, like I mentioned last Sunday. If you drink a lukewarm water, you feel like throwing up, feel like vomiting. You can only be comfortable with that liquid if it is either hot or cold. And God said, I will spew it out of my mouth. That is a state of today's Christendom. But do you know they don't know it? And that's what the Bible says. Verse 16, so then because thou art lukewarm, or verse 17 rather, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. If you are talking of flamboyance today in the churches, flamboyance is understatement. Praise God. Praise God. Now, it's the spirit of the age. It's a capitalism spirit. The spirit of wealth, amassing wealth and wealth and wealth. Rightly or wrongly. And that is why in the churches today, the leaders, the pastors, they don't care again how members make their money. All they're interested is come and pay your tithe and pay your vows. Praise God. Praise God. Many times here, our pastor has rejected the offer of several millions of naira. One was 50 million, the other one was 40 million. But our pastor understood that those monies were proceeds of illicit drug, cocaine, whatever. He rejected it. Does it mean we don't need money? We need money. But we are following the principles and steps of the Bible. Amen. Because the Bible says we should be careful not to be polluted by the world. The Bible says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Amen. But you discover that every other church denominations, they don't give a hoot, they don't give a damn. They don't care less. Anyhow it comes. Praise God. And that is why there is competition among these big time pastors. Some of them have more than one private jet. Some have two jets that are going for three. Amen. And they are competing for the best auditorium. The best auditorium, the best cathedral. Praise God. There is nothing wrong with a fine edifice for a church worship if the money is gotten in the right way. Praise the Lord. But we know the spirit that is in these denominations. We know their motivations. And it's the spirit of Laodicea. And that is why a Christian should be careful the kind of businesses you run. You should be careful the kind of things you engage in to make money. Praise God. Sister, you have to be careful what you did or what you want to do to get that job. You must get that job through the proper and honest means. Otherwise, you don't have a right to pay tithe from the proceeds. Praise the Lord. So this spirit of wealth and get money, get rich quick by all means. That's what has put our young ones into cyber crime. We call them Yahoo Yahoo in this crime, in Nigeria here. They do all kind of scams and so forth. And defraud, you know, unsuspecting people that pay money into their accounts. And you see a young boy that could not get admission into the higher institution, 18, 20, 25 years, is pulling a car that is worth 10 million naira. And the parents are not asking questions. So the parents are also accomplices with their children in this, unchristian and very terrible acts. But a Christian is supposed to be aware that there is a spirit behind these things. And you have to be on your toes. So you don't just have to come. Some of us are here again tonight. All the want is to pray for a breakthrough, for deliverance and for healing for their bodies. But let me tell you, the greatest and number one healing you need is the healing for your soul. Somebody shout hallelujah. And when you get the healing for your soul, the Bible says, miracles are children's bread. Hallelujah. So when you have gotten the real thing first, then God will now move you into whatever material things you are asking Him for. The please, child of God, don't put the cart before the horse. It's supposed to be the other way. Hallelujah. And because of these acts, God says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And verse 17 says, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. Do you know the meaning of wretched? Wretchedness? A very pitiable condition. Praise God. That you deserve to be what? Pitied. Wretched. Miserable. And what? Poor. And blind. And naked. What other adjective do you want to see? And yet, these are people that are so-called Christians. These people speak in tongues. Some are anointed to even heal the sick. But the Bible says you are miserable, you are wretched, you are blind. Amen. Why? Because you have allowed the spirit of this age, the spirit of mammon. Somebody say mammon. The God of this evil age is the God of money. Praise God. Praise God. And yet as Christians, we have forgotten the counsel of Apostle Paul to we Christians. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Are you there? Look at what verse 6 says. But godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Now, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8, and having food and raiment. Raiment is clothing. Just the clothing you have, you can have to cover your nakedness. Amen. You must not have all the designer suits in the world. You must not have all the later designs of Ankara what do you call it? The rest of them, you know the women, the judge and the rest of them, and the lace. You must not have all of them. If you have the money to have them, you even have to be guided by the spirit of discretion. Amen. As a Christian, you should be guided by discretion. Now you have money to have 5 changes of lace, for example, and each of them is costing 50,000 naira. And you have a sister in your group that can hardly change, has hardly 2 changes of clothes. And you're saying we are brethren. So it's a spirit of selfishness. It's an age of pride. Hallelujah. Is a spirit that does not care about any other person. It's the spirit of self. That's why in another book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, in the last days, men shall be what? Lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Covetous, heady, truth breakers, high-minded, children disobedient to parents. It's a spirit. And when you find yourself walking in that spirit, it means that you are not yet restored. Something is wrong with your experience. Amen. The Bible says we are a peculiar people, a chosen generation. Do you know the meaning of the word church? Is taken from the Greek word ekklesia. What is ekklesia? Called out. People that are called out and separated from the world and the pollutions thereof. But you are neck deep in the world and you are answering a church member. Praise God. Some of you sitting here today, you are coming from some of the ladies are coming from their boyfriend's homes. I'm telling you the truth. And some boys have left their girlfriend at home to come to vigil. And some of you, you are committing iniquity and you are here. The boy is sitting this side, the girl is sitting this side, and you've come to church. You know you don't belong here. And what we are saying here tonight will judge you on the day of judgment. Except you repent. Our God is a God of separation. He separates goat from the sheep. Hallelujah. He doesn't mix things up. So why are you forcing yourself to mix with Christians? Why not go where you belong? Praise God, somebody. The spirit of Laodicea is the spirit of lawlessness. But the spirit of Christ is a law keeper. Christians are supposed to be law keepers. Somebody shout hallelujah. And because Christians are supposed to be law keepers, that is why you are given the Holy Ghost. Because what the law could not do, grace came to accomplish it through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What I could not do because I was in the flesh, when I came into Christ, the Holy Ghost came and I have been able to do those things. And so many of you have the same experience. The same testimonies. Praise God. Hallelujah. The way you hear of such things now, you can't even imagine somebody coming to the church and still be involved in such practices and such acts. It's the spirit of Laodicea. It's the spirit that calls white black and black white. It's the spirit that condones sin and atrocities. Is a sin that does not stand on and by the truth. But it should not be so with a restored Christian and a restored church. Hallelujah. So that's the spirit of Laodicea for you. And God said, you are miserable. You are naked. You are blind. You are wretched. Now, verse 18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold trying the fire, and thou mayest be rich and white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of the nakedness do not appear. And I know that eyes will answer that thou mayest see, as many as I love and rebuke. Verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. When the prophet was treating this particular church age, you know what he said? And if you look at that illustration that he drew concerning the church ages, you can find it at the back of our songbook, the church ages. You know, the illustration. You can see that the Laodicea church age is almost covered with darkness. Yet, this is the age that is supposed to have the completeness of the truth restored. The completeness of the power restored. The completeness of holiness restored. Praise God. But it doesn't happen that way. Why? We have seen the spirit that is responsible, that only very few are restored to the totality of the gospel with the holiness, doctrines, and conduct. Because there's a spirit that has taken over the world and the churches of the world. And now, the prophet said that verse 20 shows that they have used today's denominational churches, have used their programs, have used their ideas, have used their own man-made foundation to do what? To drive the Holy Ghost out of the church. Until Jesus is now outside knocking, please open for me, let me enter. That's what that scripture says. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The Holy Ghost has been driven outside those big, beautiful auditoriums. Those big, beautiful cathedrals. God is not there anymore. That is why he's standing at the door and knocking. And individually, he's knocking at the door of your heart. Do not go home the same, brother, sister. Amen and amen. Oh, praise God, somebody. Now, I told you we're looking at these signs from three prongs or three perspectives. And I told you the spirit of libation, which is, you know, conceptualized by materialism, wealth. If God gives you the grace and opportunity to be wealthy, let it be to the glory of God. And be a wealthy man like Brother Joseph Arimathea in the Bible. He was a worshiper of God. Praise God. That was the man that volunteered his own grave and said, let my Lord be buried in this grave. He was a follower of God. He wasn't like that rich man. I told himself, after he has got a very huge, wonderful harvest, and he has stocked his barn with goods, all kinds of crops, and he went back home and said, oh, my soul, rejoice and be merry. You have so much good in stock for many years to come. The Bible said that same night, what happened? The Lord said, come on, I need you tonight. And the man, the Bible says in that parable, the man has been very rich in the things of this world. But he was not rich towards God. And there was another rich man that came to Jesus and said, Master, what will I do to inherit eternal life? And we thought he was sincere. And Jesus looked and asked him, are you not a believer? You don't read the law of Moses? How do you read? Don't you keep the laws? The man said, from my childhood, I have been faithful to the laws. The Bible says Jesus looked at him and did what? And loved him. Because he said the truth. But that is the carnal aspect of it. Now Jesus asked, okay, if you want to be perfect, somebody say perfection. Somebody say perfection. Brother, sister, don't just say, that sister she's a prophesier, is a prophetess. She's dressing this way, and why can't I dress this way? Don't say that, but that brother is a preacher now. If he could do so thing, I can do the same way. We are talking about Bible perfection. Praise God. We are talking about perfection by the word. No man is your standard. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Amen. Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I do what? Even as I follow Christ. Today, we are following the ministry of William Mellon Bryan because he followed the footsteps of Christ. Somebody shout hallelujah. And today, I am comfortable with this ministry because the man that God used to found this ministry is following the way of Christ, the way of God. Brethren, God forbid, if anything happens and this pulpit becomes shaky, the spiritual ones will do what? They will find their way. But we know it will never happen by the grace of God. Because this ministry, God raised this ministry for a purpose. And that purpose must be accomplished. Through your dedication and your prayers, it must be accomplished. There's a purpose for this ministry for your lives. There's a purpose for this ministry for the whole world. And it must be accomplished in Jesus' name. And so we're talking about the rich man that we thought he was sincere. And Jesus told him, go and sell everything you have. And do what? give the money to the poor. Eh? He didn't end there. He said, carry your cross and do what? Follow me. Chey. As they had saying. The Bible says, the man went back sorrowful. And that scripture said, because he had great possessions. Amen. That is the problem with humanity today. And it has entered Christendom. Praise God. Some people came in here, they couldn't stay because they said the standard is too hard. They come here to collect prayers, but they refuse to identify with the doctrines and conduct and order. But you know that you're deceiving yourself. Because on the day of judgment, God will not reduce what he has given us in this Bible to judge us by. Praise God. So, please, be guided. Materialism is not a sign of true Christianity. If materialism is a time for true Christianity, then all the Arab nations will go to heaven before us. Because some of those countries like Saudi Arabia, babies unborn have already money stashed waiting for them to inherit. They're wealthy. So if that's a sign that God is with them, then they should be first of all to go in the rapture before us. But we know it is not that way. Praise the Lord. And then quickly, we are looking at the second angle to the signs of this time that we need to discern. And we're looking at the crisis. It's just a summary. The crisis in the Middle East, especially in the land of Palestine proper. Praise the Lord, somebody. Somebody praise the Lord. Right from even before 1948, before eventually many things happened before the nation of Israel got independence. Praise the Lord. Because God gave them a promise in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 16. Let's read it. Jeremiah 16, 14, 15, 16. There's a promise that was hanging for them there. Hallelujah. Therefore, behold, the days come, said the Lord. And it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. 16. Behold, I will send for many fishers, said the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks. Praise the Lord. This prophecy has been hanging thousands of years before AD 70. Praise God. Because the dispersion that the Bible is talking about here, the scattering the Bible is talking about here, is the scattering that took place in AD 69-70. Praise God. When General Titus came in, laid siege, and after very many, many days, eventually, you know, took over the city and scattered the people of God into different countries of the world. That's why he said countries of the north and far lands and so forth. Praise the Lord. And why did that happen to them? Because they rejected their Messiah. Amen. And they said, let his blood be upon their head, upon their children's head, upon their children's children's heads. And it came to pass like that upon them. And Jesus even prophesied about it in Matthew 24. Praise God. When the siege will be laid. And he was telling them there that those on the mountains should not even go back to take anything from the city. And that they should pray that their flight should not be in the winter or on a Sabbath day. And he said, woe unto them that are breastfeeding children on that day. That was AD 70. Praise the Lord. And after AD 70 came many, many, many years. Generations of the children of Israel suffered in slavery, abject abandonment, and mockery. They were treated like nobody all over the place where they found themselves. They were molested, they were hounded, they were killed. My, they suffered. Praise the Lord. So these are the signs from prophetic point of view and the present time, the fulfillment. What are taking place? What is taking place now? What will take place? Concerning Israel in particular and the regions of the Middle East. It should be very important to the Christian. Where is it pointing to? Praise the Lord, somebody. It's not just Prophet Godwin, prophesy for me. Prophet Boboye, prophesy for me. Prophet Jayora, Sunday, prophesy for me. Which deliverance? I need deliverance. So. My business no move again for five months. No, these things are okay, but it appears that these things have taken away the real consciousness that's supposed to bother the Christian. The consciousness of eternal life. The things transient, ephemeral, things that are passing away, has taken away the real concern from children of God all over the world. It's not supposed to be so. Praise the Lord. And the prophet said, if you want to know what time of the day it is, you look at the clock. It will tell you, oh, it's a few minutes to 2 a.m. Nigerian time. But if you want to know spiritually where the world is heading, where will you look at? He said, look at the nation of Israel. Somebody shout hallelujah. How many of us are conscious of that? How many? How many are following the news and know what is happening in Israel, why it is happening, and where it is heading to? And how it affects the generation of Christians of today. That's very important. Praise God. So when you come here, you should be ready to hear and to learn something that will help you pilot your eternal destination. Amen. And so, when after many years, thousands, we read in that scripture, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 16, God said, at the appointed time, he will restore them back to their land. And it is not bringing them back from Egypt anymore. No, it's from the lands of Russia, the lands of parts of Europe, the lands of all over the world. Praise God. And he said he will send what? Fishers. Somebody say fishers. Who were the fishers? The fishers were the pre-independence preachers. Pre-independence, that is Israeli independence. They created awareness all over the world where the Jews were settled. They were creating the awareness, please. Let us begin to prepare to go home. We have a homeland. We have read, we have had the history. We can go home and stop all these, you know, wicked acts in the hands of the Gentiles. They were the fishers. And some of them were already going home, putting up settlements under very harsh conditions, molested by the Palestinians who had already occupied the land. Remember, they left that land how many years? 1948, for example, minus 70. You know how many years? That they were out of that place close to 1,000 years. No, close to 2,000 years. Praise God. So, but God said, somehow, I will do what? Restore. So, no condition is impossible for God to handle. Somebody shout hallelujah. So if God could pick a people that were scattered all over the place, They had no country for almost 2,000 years. No nation, no president, nothing in place, no local government, nothing. Nothing to even point at and say that they were there before. But by faith and by revelation, they began to go back. Now, the Lord that stirred them up by that faith, he had made a provision to give them back a nation. Praise the Lord, somebody. So don't fear whatever situation you are passing through. As long as you are a child of God, look at the promises. Don't look at the circumstances. Amen. Let the promises of God propel you into where you are heading to. Once the promises are there, go ahead. Once it is God that made the promise, he will make a way. Somebody shout hallelujah. The prophet said he had developed so much faith in God until if there is a brick wall in front of him, and God said, go and pass through that brick wall. He said if he was sure that it was God speaking, he will move ahead and go towards that brick wall. He said because he knows before he got at that brick wall that the brick wall will give way. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, and if you go to the scriptures, God had done it several times. When God told Abraham, your only son Isaac that I gave you, tie him up and slaughter him for a sacrifice. Abraham only needed to confirm that it was God speaking to him. When he confirmed, he said, this temple, I was already dead. My wife was dead biologically. And he gave us this son. If he says that she go and slay him, he is also able to bring him back to life. So Abraham was not pretending when he told that lad, let's go and do a sacrifice. He wasn't pretending when the Lord told the lad to tie the wood and so forth. And the lad said, ah, daddy, the wood, everything, where is the lamp? You know what the man said? The Lord will provide himself a lamp for sacrifice. That is the faith a Christian should exhibit. Somebody shout hallelujah. Don't cut corners, Christian man, Christian woman. Follow God ruggedly. The Bible says Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. God is expecting to account a righteousness unto you by getting your mind to go ahead and do the work. Do things by faith. Believe God, but don't cut corners. Don't compromise. Praise God. Don't say God understands. It doesn't. The only thing God understands is righteousness. Somebody shout hallelujah. So one of the signs we have to look at very closely is what is happening in the Middle East, especially Palestine. When God promised, he sent the Zionists, pre-independence preachers. The Zionists, moreover, created awareness. And they were coming in trickles. But he said, I will also send what? Hunters. Somebody say hunters. What God meant there is military men that will use bazooka and very great mighty ammunition to kill them in such a way that they will run back to Israel whether they wanted it or not. And there was a man God used to do that deadly, dastardly act. That was Hitler in the Second World War. Praise God. And he killed about 6 million Jews in gas chambers. Praise God. And those who were alive, when they saw it, they couldn't stay. They said, there must be a place. We heard there is a place that is our home. Now let us get there. It's better we go and die there. That was how they began to come back in droves. And as at this point in time, believe you me, virtually every spiritual Jew is back in the land of Palestine, waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Somebody shout hallelujah. So, immediately they came back and politically God made a way because it was God's appointed time. Through the League of Nations and As at that point in time, Palestine was under British mandate. And as God will have it, the League of Nations that later became United Nations, through the instrumentality of Britain, Israel was granted independence in 1948. But there is something Jesus said in Matthew 24 when he was talking about the end time events. Go back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. If you're there, say amen. Okay. Verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us. Okay, let's start from verse 1. And Jesus went out, verse 1, departed from the temple. The disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And of the end of the world. And I began to teach them so many things that we have touched some of them already, including the event of AD 70. Now there's a place I want you to look at particularly in verse 32. And in verse 32, it says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Stand before. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord. Now, what I want us to look at right now, for you to see the closeness of the times we are living in. We're not talking about 1,000 years to come. We're not talking about 200 years to come. Not even 100 years to come. We're talking about few years from now. Because Jesus, when he said, look at the fig tree, in St. Luke account, Luke 21-29, we're not reading it. He said, look at the fig tree and the other trees. Now, when he puts forth his leaves, Jesus was talking about the independence of Israel. After the scattering and then the coming back, and the independence is the putting forth of leaves. Praise God. That was the independence, Israel becoming back, becoming a nation again. That was what he foretold. And he said, and other trees. If you read history, discover that most African nations in particular, parts of Asia, they gained their independence from 1949, 50, 52, 53, 60, 61, and so forth. Immediately after Israel got independence, all these other nations began to get independence from one particular. I think Britain, almost 3/4 of the whole world was under British rule at a point in time. That's why it was widely said then that the sun never sets on the Union Jack. You know what is Union Jack? That's the name of the British flag. And there's a saying that goes that the sun never sets on the Union Jack. What does it mean? You know, there are different time zones in the world. As we enjoy having night time here, some other place it is their time. As we are having 2 a.m., some other place is 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Other places it is 7 a.m. and so forth. So at every point in time, there are places that the Union Jack has a nation under it that is When it is night time there, another nation it is daytime. Another one it is morning time. So they say the sun never sets on the Union Jack. So most of these nations began to have independence after 1948. That is the older trees. And Nigeria had theirs. When? 1960. Praise the Lord, somebody. Now, Jesus said, this generation shall not pass. Now, Jesus was not speaking about the human elements that were living physically at that time. No. Praise the Lord. Not the human elements. Because somebody said, people in that era must be alive between 90, before Jesus comes the second time. And again, remember, the generation that we're looking at here, there are two major generations in the Bible. When God is talking about time frame generation, there are two major time frames. You have 100 years and you have 40 years. Praise the Lord. If you read Genesis chapter 15, God told Abraham that his offspring, his children, will be in captivity for how many years? He said for 400 years. And he said, and in the fourth generation, which is the 400 year, after the 400 year, that they will come out of captivity. So we have a bearing there for a generation to be 100 years. Then there are other generations that God used 40 years to calculate. Like the generation of those that went from the land of Egypt to the promised land. It took 40 years. It was God looked at it as a generation. But here, we have studied and we see that the generation being projected here is a generation of 100 years. So by implication, from 1948, when Israel became a nation, you are looking at it won't go beyond 100 years, plus or minus. Because when you're looking at God's time, it can be plus 10 years, it can be minus 10 years. He can do that. He's sovereign. Praise God. That was why after 400 years, they didn't come out until 430 years. So we were looking at 100 years. And 1948 to another 100 years is what? 2048. Is that correct? And if you look at our divine timetable, we have about 30 years. And we all also keep saying that God is sovereign. Amen. God can, because he says he's going to do a quick work. Somebody say quick work. And if he says he's going to do a quick work, he can reduce that 100 years to 80 years. You can't question him. So that's why the Christian must live. Abraham said, a Christian should live his life as if Jesus is coming the next minute. Live your life as if Jesus is coming the next minute. But he said, plan your life as if he's going to come in the next 100 years. So that is where he balanced it up. Because some time ago, over the time, in the 80s, some followers of this message, they said that Jesus will come in the rapture. They calculated and put some dates for themselves. And they said it must be so and so day and time. And they withdrew their children from school. They closed their bank accounts. They sold their properties and so forth. And we are waiting for the rapture. Did the rapture come? That's the height of carnality. We can know the season. They are not properly posted. They are not properly taught. Because if you go by the prophetic timetable, we are posted. But then, brother, sister, God can call you home this morning. And that's the end. You won't have a second chance. Sister, God can call you home this morning. If you decide to do so, are you ready to meet him? That's the question. Praise the Lord, somebody. So that generation, that is why you see so many things, prophecies fulfilling in quick succession. And I believe the two prophets of Revelation 11, they must have grown to be adults right now. They are no longer kids. They are no longer sucking breasts. They have gotten to a point that very soon anointing will come upon them. Gentile days are numbered. Praise God. And what is happening in Israel, there is no let. Don't think that, oh, there's going to be an end someday. The only way it will end is when Israel shall be eventually victorious. What do I mean by that? When eventually all the land that God, the land of Canaan that God gave Abraham, when he called him out from the land of Uz, in Genesis 12, down to 13, 14, 15. 15, he told him, all this land you are seeing here, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and so forth. He said, I will give you all this land for a possession. What land are we talking about? The present land of Palestine, where this all this contention. Praise God. So somebody will ask me, why would God do that? Say, he would drive this one, drive this one, drive this one, to plant another one. Brother, did we not read in the Bible that the potter has power over the clay? If he wants to use a portion of the clay to make, vessels of honor, it's up to him. Praise God. Do you know that the ceramics that were used to do the toilet seat is the same ceramics you use for your eating? The place you use, the same ceramics. Sometimes from the same company, but they make one to be dishes for eating and make one to be putting feces. With the one in the toilet begin to complain to the manufacturer, why you put me inside toilets? That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 9, from verse 15. Praise God. The Bible not say in Psalm 24 verse 1, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God is the owner of the whole earth, the whole world. And it is the owner of the property that decides how he would dispense it. Who to give what? And who to tell, no, I don't want you here again. Go to another place, I want to put another person. Praise God. The father of the children has right to do his will, to do the will according to the way he wants it to be. He can give the last born the choicest portion of his legacy. As long as that will is done and stamped and put in the custody of a legal practitioner and the man dies, there is no law, there is no argument, there is no quarrel that can reverse it. Praise God. Now, we bear with the burdens of the Palestinians. But the Jews are also suffering death toll, both sides. But if only we can all act as God's children, both the Palestinians and the Jews, if they can only go back and say, what does God say concerning these lands? Praise God. Shebi, they claim, or rather, they are descendants of Abraham through Ishmael. And the Israelites are also descendants of Abraham through Isaac. Is that correct? Are they not brethren? Okay, let them agree now. Let them come into agreement. And go back and say, what did God say concerning these lands? That would have settled the whole matter. But the problem is, one is spiritual, one is carnal. And the spiritual-minded and the carnal-minded can never agree. Praise the Lord, somebody. So we have to look at these things. It is saying something. To the Christian, it is ongoing time. And one of these days, something will trigger. Praise God. And America is now backing Israel. It's been backing Israel all this while. Donkey years. Praise God. But America will not back Israel forever. Mark it. Praise the Lord, somebody. Do you know that Abraham said, he repeatedly said it, that America has polluted the world so much with her pornography and her lawlessness and her indecency, the whole world. He said, if God does not judge America, then God should raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. Do you understand? Because the immorality that America is exporting to the whole world is terrible. It's in the highest proportions. Praise God. The spirit of indecency, the spirit of entertainment, nudity, everything. Lawlessness. Until the parents can no longer spank their children. They will come and collect your children from you, saying you have spanked your child. Where the Bible says, don't spare the rod, use it to train the child. America said, no, you cannot do it. America is today against God. Praise God. They have a name that they are alive, but they are dead. In their dollar bill, they say, in God we trust. That was then. That was 1776. The days of Abraham Lincoln and the rest of them. When America was founded, they trusted in God, but today they have forgotten God. Today, America is trusting in its power, military power. It is trusting in science. And because of that, God will cause them to fail. Praise God. So, when nations like North Korea and Russia and wish again, and Iran, when they are threatening, those nations are doing something, I don't know, they may be a tool in God's hand to judge America. Because, I don't think whether we can see today, in one of the seven visions that God showed Brother Abraham in 1933, the seven visions of the things that will transpire, then Jesus will come. Out of those seven visions, five of them have fully identifiably fulfilled. Praise God. The only one that is remaining is probably the physical lady becoming the president of America. And then America turning into ruins, either by earthquake or by military attack. Whatever. Praise God. So we're looking at these two significant things. Although he said about the woman presidency, he said it could be the influence of the Roman Catholic Church. But somehow, politically, I am believing it is going to be a physical female president. That's my opinion. Praise God. And then he said America will sink beneath the ocean. There will be a judgment. And that judgment has to come. When that judgment comes, then Israel will be left alone with God to fight the battle of the Middle East. Because something is going to happen to trigger the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. And that war of Ezekiel 38 and 39, America will not take the glory there. America will not be in the picture. It's going to be Israel and their God. Praise God. Hallelujah, somebody. The Bible said that the king of the north, Russia, we connive with most of these Arab nations and so forth. They said, let them go and take a spoil from a nation that is at peace without wars. Praise God. And then they will go and go with, read that scripture. We're going to do a comprehensive study on those two chapters of the Bible. Praise God. The Bible says, God says, after he had dealt with the armies of Russia and her cohorts, he said it would take Israel 7 good months to bury the dead. Praise God. God has done it before now. Amen. In 1967, You remember? 6 days war. Because immediately after independence, all the Arab nations around them, they came like swarm of bees to swallow Israel up. They didn't want them to stay. And in 1907, they came from all over the place. Egypt, Syria, Jordan, all of them. They came. But God made that battle last for only 6 days. And after 6 days, the Israelis drove their enemies from every quarter. Amen. That was when they captured the West Bank by Jordan. They captured the Gaza Strip by Egypt. Which other one? They captured the Golan Heights by Syria. Syrian borders. Praise God. Somebody shout hallelujah. And they raised up their hands again in 1973. The Yom Kippur War. It was worse. God gave them victory. And ever since, they have been very careful to engage Israel in military attack. What are we saying? When God has said a thing, He will back it up and cause what He has said to come to pass. All He do you know what is motivating God to fight for Israel? If it is only 3 rabbis that are standing by what the Bible says concerning their promise, God is okay. He keeps fighting for them. Because there are still renegades, irreligious, and political Jews who don't even know what we're saying here. Praise God. Did God not say that it is a remnant? It's a remnant now. It's not all of them. Not because you're a Jew. Is there not everybody called a Jew? But in thy seed shall thy people be called. It's a remnant. It's not everybody. So there's also election among the Jews. Somebody shout hallelujah. So when these things are taking place in the Middle East, it should cause a Christian to be thinking about going home. Because something is going to happen. And before you know it, the last thing we are going to see is the moment that war is fought and won, it will happen before our very eyes. Those of us that will be old enough to see it, that will live to see it. Praise God. It's not going to happen after rapture. It's before rapture. Ezekiel 38 and 39. Praise the Lord. And then after that, a lot of things will not happen. You know, we've taken the studies here many, many times. But let me tell you something. The moment the Pope of Rome stretches hand of fellowship to Israel for an accord, military and economic accord, and some other nations. The moment he begins to do that, then, brethren, it is homegoing time. It is going to happen simultaneously because we won't be alive to see that agreement signed. I mean, we won't be here to see the agreement signed. Somebody shout hallelujah. We will live. And as we are living, that is when the two prophets will manifest. It will happen simultaneously. Amen. And 3.5 years into that economic agreement, political economic agreement, he will do what? Break that covenant. And that is when the spirit of Antichrist will come upon that man of peace. Somebody shout hallelujah. And when that economic plan, whatever is being signed, that was when the two prophets will begin to preach. Amen. Begin to sensitize their people to receive the Messiah. Brethren, what are we saying? It is later than you think. It is the last of the last days. We must be focused. It is not just deliverance, open doors, healings, good cars, marriage, I must marry, blah, 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 blah. There is something higher than that. And when you understand those things that are higher than that, God will give you those desires of your heart in Jesus' name. And quickly, before we pray, I want us to look at the top perspective that we're looking at in this designing the signs of the time. That's the ministry of the end time Elijah. Somebody say, the ministry of the end time Elijah. Okay. Turn to Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. It's a familiar scripture. with those of us who have been following the message for some time now. Malachi is the last chapter of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4. If you are there, say amen. Okay, verse 5 says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So he's going to send Elijah. And if you look at that verse 6, it is A and B. One is the coming of John the Baptist, the first one. That is turning the heart of the fathers to the children. It was done by John the Baptist. Amen. And John the Baptist prepared the heart of all those doctors of the law, the Pharisees and so forth, that held on to the Torah, the Old Testament law, and prepared their heart to receive a childlike faith of Christ and his apostles. And then, but the other one was fulfilled by William Mary and Abraham. We have used scriptures in former studies. If you won't mind, go to the tape stand and get the message, the teaching that our pastor did, titled The Star Messenger. The Star Messenger, to give you the full insight of who William Mary Abraham is. But for the purpose of tonight, suffice it to say that he was the one that fulfilled the part B of Malachi chapter 4 verse 6. That is turning the hearts of the children to the fathers. Because after the apostles that were children in the days of Jesus, praise God, and then the Christian faith went through the years. Now these apostles, they became fathers of the faith. They turned from children to fathers. And so we of this Laodicea church age, we are the children that are being restored to the faith of these apostolic fathers. Praise the Lord. That is why we have rediscovered the right formula for baptism through the ministry of the Star Messenger to this age. A baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by immersion. We have rediscovered that there are no three persons in one God. It is only one personality in God. And the redemptive name of that God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, Colossians chapter 2 verse 9, that in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Somebody shout hallelujah. And other things we have restored back to. We've been restored that the fivefold ministry is not for the woman, it's for the men folk. And not just men folk, you have to be called into it just the way that Aaron was called. There must be a call. Not because you can speak where you are an orator, a motivational speaker, then you go to Bible school and become a pastor. No, that is denominations of this day. But you must be called by God, confirmed that you are called to become part of that fivefold ministry. And other areas of restoration, doctrines of the Bible, we are posted. And above all, God has used this man, William Mary Abraham, to reveal the mystery of the seven seals that have been veiled over the years. Praise God. In 1963, God came down through his angels and gave him the mandate to go and reveal God, the mysteries of those seven seals in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. It was when those angels that were leaving him that cloud you see on the altar, that cloud was formed. That was when those angels that came to give him mandate to go and reveal the seven seals. That was in the year 1963, 28th February, precisely. Praise the Lord. There are many supernatural signs that preceded and accompanied the ministry of this man. But we're not talking about the man, now we're talking about the message that he brought. Praise God. The message of restoration that William Miller Branham brought is a sign to this generation. Somebody say a sign to this generation. And if you ask me, that is the last major sign to this generation. Why? Because the Bible says, if that Elijah does not come, what will happen? He, God, will smite the earth with a curse. So this earth is still subsisting because that Elijah has come. This earth is still subsisting because people like you and I have believed that hard message. Brother, it's a hard message. A message that will not give you the liberty to do the things you want to do. A liberty that will confine you to the dictates of the Bible only. No wonder Apostle Paul said, Apostle Paul, a prisoner for Jesus Christ. Amen. A true Christian is a prisoner for Jesus Christ. It will cause you to curtail your appetite in so many ways, in diverse ways, to please your master and to prepare for eternal home. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. And whatever the Bible says, the sufferings of this present time is not to be compared, has nothing, no basis for comparison with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Somebody, there is hope. Tell your sister neighbor, there is hope. Tell your brother neighbor, there is hope. Amen. Do you know, before you talk of eternal age, we are going to stay here for 1,000 years. Oh, my. The peaceful reign of Christ with his saints. Hallelujah. The way Jonathan is the president of Nigeria, with all the liberties and all the benefits and all the privileges that are accrued to the presidency. Do you know that? That's why when they get there, they don't want to come out. It's a very comfortable seat. You have comfortable, quote and unquote. Now, you have everything at your beck and call. You command anything to come to pass. Praise God. You don't lack anything. You don't know how your car is fueled. You don't know how your suitcase is carried. You don't know how your clothes are bought. You don't know how they are dry cleaned. You don't know nothing. Everything is easy. The only problem they have is that they lack protection. They are fearful. That's why they have all the security apparatus and the rest of them. Praise God. But you, in that millennium, there is no fear of Boko Haram. There is no fear of armed robber. There is no fear of terrorists. Do you understand? You are fully in charge. If you are given to be the president of Nigeria, you are in charge, both physically and spiritually. Somebody shout hallelujah. If you are given to govern, to be a state governor, you are in charge spiritually and physically. At your command, everything comes to pass. And you won't have to use airplanes. You will travel like thoughts. If you want to be at Abuja now, you close your eyes, you are there. Because we will be semi, both spiritual and physical beings joined together. That's a mystery. Praise God. So, we are going somewhere. That is before the new heaven and the new earth. So, whatever toils we have to go through in this life, it is worth it. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it come into the mind of man, what God has put in store for those that love him. But wait, he said, but these things have been revealed to us by the Spirit. That is why there is no money in your pocket, you are happy. That's why you have not paid your house rent, you are happy. There is a revelation that is carrying you. It's a revelation of eternal destination. A revelation of better things to come. Somebody, don't be bothered because that material thing you're looking for has not come. It will come at the appointed time. Praise God. I know certain things I have asked God for donkey years. It never came to pass until later, some took 10 years, some 15 years. I have been a Christian for almost 30 years. Praise God. Certain things he allowed it to be tough and hot and so forth. I pray, I fast. There was a time I told God I will not stop my fasting until I see a change. Praise God. I fasted 6 to 6 for 91 days. After the 91 days, did I see a physical change? He was only giving me revelations and dreams and what, how it would be and so forth. I had to break my fast. Praise God. Amen. So it's not how much you have fasted. Fasting is okay. Going to mountain is okay. Praying is okay. But none of these things can supersede God's appointed time for the child of God. I'm talking by experience. Praise God. You don't think that the Jews, when they were more than 1,000 years in exile, they were not praying for God's visitation? They prayed and fasted. Their forefathers, they prayed and fasted and died. Prayed and fasted and died. Prayed and fasted and died. It didn't come to pass until the appointed time. But somebody listening to me, tonight is your own appointed time. Oh, my. Don't prolong it because somebody is receiving his visitation tonight. You will not go home the same. All of us are not programmed the same day, the same moment. The same. I say, somebody, your own, your change is tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Jesus said something where we read in Matthew 16. He said, there shall be no sign given to this generation. That was that generation then. Except the sign of prophet Jonah. We have explained it on Sunday. What was the sign? Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jesus was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Praise God. That was the sign. He now said, "You with a sign that has never been before. So, if you want to believe after that sign, believe. If you don't want to believe, it's up to you." Now, God has given the last major sign to this generation. What is that sign? John chapter 6. Somebody shout hallelujah. John chapter 6. Oh my. John chapter 6. Oh, praise God. Let's read quickly and verse 24. It was an episode after he fed them with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And then the other day they came again looking for more bread. Jesus told them, "I know you're not looking for me because of the miracle that you saw that's supposed to spoil you to believe God. You came because you ate of the loaves and you're satisfied. That's why you're here. And that's the case of some of us here. You are not even here because you want to hear what's of eternal life. You want to hear. You are here to hear prophecy. You are here because you want a breakthrough. Fine and nice. But let us put the first things first. Praise the Lord. Now Jesus now discussing with them, verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, "Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" As if they were sincere. Verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Can you see it? The miracle that they saw was supposed to have them, make them say, ah, this man is not ordinary. Therefore, what he's teaching should be listened to. No, that was not their motive. They don't care about the teaching. It is, give us more bread. Like some are here, give us more miracle. Some are here, Chizoban, give us more music. Brother Stanley, give us more music. Praise God. Amen. And then the prophets come and fly. That is all fine, but we're talking about setting our priorities right. Amen. Now Jesus said, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, which give unto you. For him had God the Father sealed. Do you know, look up, they didn't get the message. Even after he discerned their thoughts and knew that they were coming there just for bread, he now told them, do not labor for perishable things. Labor for things that will lead you to eternal life. The message don't enter. Why did I say it didn't enter? Look at the next verse, their demand. Verse 28. They said unto him, what shall we do that we might walk the works of God? Can you imagine? They are asking them to believe the word of eternal life. They jump it. They are looking for anointing and gifts to do the work of God. People are coming to church, going to mountains to look for gifts. Fornicators, adulterers, thieves, liars. They go to mountain often and on to acquire anointing, to get power. Praise God. That is the spirit. It was in Jesus' day. What shall we do to walk the works of? Who is asking you for work? They're asking you to believe the one that will give you life eternal. You are looking for work. Obedience is what? Better than sacrifice. God is asking you to obey his word. And they're looking for work. Praise God. Now, Jesus answered them. Where I'm going is this. Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. God has sent somebody to this generation to bring a work of restoration. And God has vindicated him through science, and wonders. People that lived in his time, they said, or a robot said, that we all preach Christ, the Pentecostal preachers of their day. Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, T.L. Osborne. It was T.L. Osborne that said it. He said, we all preach Christ, but William Merriam Bradham lived Christ. That was on his funeral day, the day Bradham was buried. T.L. Osborne was there. Praise God. All these big evangelists. And maybe you don't know, it was Brother Abraham that ordained and prayed T.L. Osborne and other robots. They admired the ministry of William Branham so much. I don't know where T.L. Osborne or other robots that told him, can I do these things you are doing? The miracles, the signs, the healings, it was too much. But Branham told him, why not? But Abraham prayed for him and the gift ignited. Praise God. But Abraham was the spearheader. He was the one that brought about healing revival in America in the 40s and 50s. God used him to do that. But in the 60s, God took him, 1963, to open the world, the third seal, the third pool. Praise God. When he began to open the world of restoration, what did they do? They did the same thing they did in John chapter 6. The Bible said they withdrew from him. They said he's a false teacher. God raised him to do miracles and heal the sick. And then he delved into teaching and erred. Is there any ministry called healing and deliverance? You are called to be either a prophet or a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist or an apostle. Praise God. And with this call, the gifts are attached to it. So Abraham was called a prophet. He was called an apostle. He was called a teacher. He was called an evangelist. He was called a pastor. He cut across on the fivefold ministry. Just like Apostle Paul. Praise God. And they became jealous. They couldn't identify with the teachings of this man. Because the Bible says you can't carry a new wine and put into an old wineskin. It will burst. So they couldn't handle it. Praise God. But those of you that can accommodate this message in spirit and truth, you are the new wineskin. And the new wine is bubbling in you. There is no busting. Because you have the capacity to contain the effervescence of that new wine. Somebody shout hallelujah. So Abraham is the sign to this generation. What is the sign? Believe on the one that God has sent. Praise God. When he was born in 1909, there was a halo of light that accompanied him from birth. That halo of light accompanied him from birth. And it was first photographed in 1950. Mechanical camera could photograph supernatural being, that pillar of light. It was unbelievable. Do you know how it happened? I may be closing on that note. Do you know how it happened? There were a bunch of renegade Pentecostal preachers. About 350 of them. They were known as Great Chicago Evangelical Association. And they were questioning the teachings of Brother Abraham. And one of them, their leader, was called Reverend Best. And they said they would disgrace William Branham. They began to plan. They said they would arrange a meeting and question him to show them how he is a divine healer. How he claims to be this and that and so forth. Praise God. And when they came to invite him, he looked at them. He knew that they were not sincere. And God showed open Abraham's eyes. And he saw a former venue where they were arranging for that meeting. Later, the venue was canceled and scheduled for another one. So first of all, he welcomed them with that prophecy. He said, okay, you were planning this meeting on certain place. They looked at themselves, one another. I said, but right now, you are putting it on so and so place. He said, well, because Abraham knew they were not sincere, he said, well, I don't think I will have the time to attend your meeting. But later, one of his associates prevailed on him, William Branham. He said, please, go to this meeting. Why won't you go? We know what we're believing. We know what we're having. Do you know whether God will use it to vindicate this ministry more and confirm some of them that are stepping seed? So later, Abraham agreed to that advice. And they went to the meeting. And then Reverend Bess came out. And at the end, it was discovered because it was said it was going to be pastoral meeting, whatever. At the end, like Abraham saw it, the meeting, the focus and the agenda was just William Branham, to ridicule him. Just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They will put up questions to ridicule Jesus, to accuse him. Then, the first question, if I can remember, they said, Abraham, why do you call yourself a divine healer? What scripture are you using to do that? and some other allegations. So when they finished, Brother Branham came out and asked them one question. He said, because you people preach salvation and people believe and are converted to Christ, are you now the savior of those people you converted? That your message converted? Brother Branham said, if you dropped a pin on that floor, you will hear the noise. And he said, if anyone, before you ask that question, if any of you can dispute from this Bible any of the doctrines that I preach, come out here and dispute it. That was when he said, if you dropped a pin, you will hear the noise. But Abraham said, they knew better. Because while he was there, the presence of the angel came. He had a white wind. And the pillar of fire came into the hall. And he was waiting for any of them to come out. That one would have dropped dead. And then one of them, the photographer that they brought, was snapping everybody, snapping, taking shots, plenty of shots. At the end of that meeting, they all went home disappointed, dejected, shamefully. But where am I going? When they went to develop the negative of those shots, perhaps 30 shots, 100 shots. Brethren, this was the only picture that came out. Every other shot refused to appear. This is the only picture that came out. And they took this picture. It was a marvel and a wonder. They took it to do all kinds of scientific research and tests and so forth. One judge, Leslie, that questions, documents to find out the authenticity of whatever, the genuineness. Now, they took it to him and he examined it inside out. And he said that there was no doctrine of the negative. That I said, but it is strange that the mechanical eyes of the camera could catch these supernatural beings, that they can't explain it. That was how this photograph was taken. Brethren, plus other signs, supernatural signs, plus other things. Is it the life he lived? Is it the humility? Is it the genuineness? Is it the piety? Is it the voice of people that walked with him? In Ohio River, 1933, a voice came when he was baptizing the people. A white wind came. This pillar of fire also came. Some saw it. And then a voice spoke. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent with a message to forerun his second coming. Brethren, our pastor preached a message last year. What was the topic of the message? What if? That's the topic. And he began to say, what if what we are saying is the truth? What if at the end of the day we are not deceivers? What if at the end of the day what we are standing for is exactly what God is standing for? He said, why not examine yourself through the Bible? If you find error in it, don't believe us. Brethren, what if we are still saying the truth? What if you are called home tomorrow? What if at the end of this life, you couldn't identify with this? Where will you be? Where will you be? Can somebody bow his head, her head? God will help you to discern the times, the signs of the times we are living in. It's a perilous time. But God has shown so much to this generation. There are so many things to look up to, so many vindications. That tells you and I that home going time is near. Hymn 161. Let's take Hymn 161 as somebody meditates. Meditates. There are so many signs that we can look out for, but they are so broad and so diverse. So we decide to narrow it within the context of these three perspectives. It's the world of materialism. It has entered the church. It's the spirit of Laodicea. The events in the Middle East, especially Palestine, is pointing to something. The bride should look up. Your redemption is near. You have a sign of the last messenger to the last Christian church age. What is your portion? Are you still wallowing in adultery and fornication? In drunkenness? In bribery? In corruption? In unbelief? You've been coming here for days and weeks and months, even years. Come on, repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus. You have not identified with that. What is your hope? What shall it profit a man? He shall gain the whole world. Lose his own soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his life? Is somebody willing to start afresh with God tonight? Is somebody willing to start anew with God tonight? While this song is played, come to the altar of God. I did it one day and I received a new life. Yes, Lord. Has somebody think about eternal destination? The altar is open for the penitent. Tomorrow may be too late. Are you running your life? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
With a spirit, your lamp sweet and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. The victory is growing, Jerusalem's restoring, a national lifelong betrothed. Today she is calling, a letter is falling. Return, O despise to your home.
Yes, Lord.
The day of redemption is there.
Somebody think about your eternal destination. Tomorrow may be too late. Later than you think.
To be on the sky, church is the power shaking this arm. Each day of redemption is near.
Oh yes, Lord. God is calling somebody to repentance. Oh my God.
Be filled with the Spirit. Your hands are clear. Look up. Your redemption is there. Was prophets are lying. Was truth they are denying. Jesus, the Christ is our God.
Of eternal
This generation must cause revelation. We walk where the apostles have trod. Oh my God, the day of redemption is here.
The time of falling
and a failing of fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamp with lamp clear. Look up, your redemption is here.
The day of redemption is here.
The day of redemption.
Yes, brother. Better than you think.
Be filled. Look up, your redemption is there.
One more time.
The day of redemption is there. Messiah, a family of fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamp with and clear.
Somebody, you want to turn aright tonight. You want to stop that recklessness. You want to stop that unbelief. You want to stop that life that's not pleasing to God. Okay. The Holy Spirit is right there with you, wherever you may be, hearing me from anywhere across the globe. The Lord wants to visit you now. That which has been impossible for you to handle, that which you have been saying, how do I do this? There are some of you that you are living this reckless lifestyle and it is not pleasing to you. You don't know how to do it. Some of us are hypocrites. And God will even be more merciful than an outright sinner than a hypocrite. Because a hypocrite knows the right thing, but he will refuse to do it. It is only a hypocrite that can be punished by the sin against the Holy Ghost. Because he knows the truth and refuses to identify with the truth. But tonight, the Bible says there is great joy in heaven for one soul that turns to Christ. Don't live on the past experience. You could have backslidden. What you used to be, you are no longer that. Don't deceive yourself that I see the Christian. There is a God of second chance. He will do it for you. I want to give you a few more moments. There is a purpose why the altar call was made. Give you a few more moments and we pray for this on the altar and for those who are connecting across the world. Hallelujah. I surrender. I surrender all. Upon you, my burden is easy. He said you will find rest for your soul. You will find rest. Why would you be carrying the body alone? Jesus wants to leave the body upon your shoulders. He wants to lift that body from your soul. He's the only one that can do it. You will never remain the same. Yes, Lord. Father, your word says no man can come to Jesus or accept the Father draws that individual. But I believe your spirit is drawing men and women unto you tonight. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and they are safe. But that these ones have run onto that great tower or shelter of that great name for salvation of their souls, for redemption from sin, for the bodies and things they cannot handle. The Father, only you can handle it. Lord, I pray one prayer for your people this morning. There was a woman in John chapter 5. She was caught in adultery. She was on her way to be stoned because she had broken the law. The Father, you had mercy on that woman, Jesus. But there was one statement you made. You told her, go and sin no more. From that instant, Mary Magdalene were meant to understand, turned from a sinner to a saint. Father, there was a power you released into her. There was a certain grace you implanted into her. Father, I pray for your children. Let that power possess them. As they confess their sins and their shortcomings, let the blood of Jesus prevail. Let the blood of Jesus atone. Let the grace of God take over. Father, release that unction into their lives. Release that power to sin no more into their lives. Give your children testimonies so that they can say, from that day, I took the issues of eternal life very seriously. Lord, I know you have done it. Glory to your most holy name. I seal you in the blood of Jesus Christ. I cover you in the blood of Jesus Christ. Go and receive the power to prevail. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Go back to your seats and God bless you. Can you put your hands together for the Lord? Can you put your hands together for the Lord?
Hallelujah, can we stand up now? Shall we rise on our feet? Hallelujah, if the word of God has blessed you, if the word of God has blessed you, stand up seven thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. One, three, four, go! No. No, that time, no parceling. That time, if you didn't parceling. We are not giving him time from your heart. So the word of God didn't bless you. Some of you here tonight, what we just heard here, you are hearing for the first time. If I want to take question now, we won't leave here by 6 a.m. Because some people are just hearing that for the first time. It's like what I get in their heart is, which one be William Branham again? Would you want to be this end time message? Continue coming. One of these days, as you continue to come, the veil will make in your face. Wow. Continue coming. Amen. Now, if the word of God has blessed you, seven, thank you, Lord, you got from your heart. One, three, four, go.